You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mades.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a weekend summit edition of the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I am your host, Adam Mades from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Bless you.
This is a weekend summit to get episode live from Adam's basement as my dog apparently just contracted something. Seated to my left, one of the all-stars of the weekend summit, superstar Dev Johnson, also known as Dev Ekies.
Yeah, wow, Dev Ekies.
You really messed that up.
I'm not the most interesting man in the world, but I have to be the most interesting man in the room.
Yeah, I won't debate that.
I won't either, honestly, yeah. Man. Nobody else in the room's that interesting.
Dennis.
Seated to my near right, the newest member of the Denver Stiffs, it's Brendan Voigt.
It's actually a little awkward. Jesus. The newest, we're really excited about the addition of, yeah. No, actually, Adam, this is a little awkward. Dev is here, so let's not, Mile High Sport, let's, okay. Yeah, he doesn't know yet.
That's right.
So let's, yeah.
The turf
hold
wars.
On. Hold on, what?
What? Seated to my far right, the Minuteman, Daniel Lewis.
In more ways than one.
Oh, rough
Adam
intro
accused
here.
Me of having an alt-right haircut. So
that's true. You do have a racist haircut. That is true.
I've been staring at him the whole time.
This is the first weekend summit since the end of the season for the Nuggets. The regular season, which so happened to also be the end of the actual season, the complete season. And it's an opportunity for us to like bring some levity to the off season. The off season is my third favorite season. I think the postseason is my favorite, the regular season and the off season, but it's close. Like the off season's fun in basketball.
I will say this is what makes the NBA, in my opinion, the most fun league to sort of cover, tweet about. The off season is almost as much of the season for a lot of fans out there as the basketball itself, especially for fans in Orlando, Phoenix, etc. I love it. I went to the draft a couple years ago in Brooklyn. It was awesome.
Really?
Yeah, it was super.
Which one were you? Which draft?
Ben Simmons. I was wasted. Yeah. And we were heckling Boston fans when they drafted Jaylen Brown. Turns out
that was good.
That was a good decision.
That was a really good pick.
Yeah.
Aren't you 21 years old?
24. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a youngin'. He's bringing in the youth for us. We're going to look back in this first segment as we always do. And honestly, this one might just go off the rails. It's the off season. We don't have to be as serious, especially on the weekend summit. But my first question is a serious one. Dev, are you over the Nugget season? I mean, it's been 8-9 days. Are you over it, or is it still kind of fresh and kind of raw?
For me, it feels like that was such a long time ago. It feels like it was like 3 weeks or a month ago. I think I'm over it at this point because, you know, the off season is where everything happens. Like you said, that's the best part of the year. And I'm pretty sure for you it's because of Summer League and you really do love that weekend. I do think that it feels like it was such a long time ago, especially when you look at all the NBA playoff ball and what's going on, and they just aren't there.
I'm not as excited about this offseason, though. We'll talk about that later. But I just don't know if it'll be that excited. But what about you, Brendan? Are you still feeling it in your bones?
Well, that was my first season with a credential, so I miss going to games. That was fun.
He had a great article. His first article on Denver Stiffs kind of talking about not being adopted into Nug life. So it was very good.
Yeah, it's been fun. And I will say I'm not a lifelong Nuggets fan, so I'm not sitting here sort of agonizing over a close finish for a second year in a row the way some of you may be. But I miss going to the Pepsi Center, man. That was fun. I could do that every day, honestly.
That's only been a couple days, though. I mean, come on now.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Daniel, you have been steeped in Nug life since birth. What are you feeling in these moments?
Oh, well, I mean, I never really get too excited about the Nuggets season because I am very well acquainted with the Nug life. So
I think you could say you never get too excited, to be honest.
Yeah,
you don't have to qualify that.
Like the first floor. So, to be honest, I kind of gave up hope on the season back in March.
Yeah, me too.
After that Memphis loss.
Yeah.
It was fun to cheer them on in that win streak towards the end where they had the potential to make the playoffs. But the whole time I knew they weren't going to make it. So I'd already emotionally detached myself so that once the season actually ended, it didn't really mean as much.
I feel the exact same way. Emotionally, I was like checked out on them and from a win-loss standpoint. So the run was fun, but I just never felt like it was gonna happen. I think Nuggets fans are kind of not over it, but probably just don't want to look back too much in that way. So we're going to look back in a cool way. Literally a cool way.
I
and
hate
Brandon,
this.
I'm going to ask you
from
my
the
first
author
question.
Of Cool himself, Adam Nardes.
That's right. Who had the cool? We're coming up with questions to ask. And
this is
we came
so
out
bad, Adam.
Who had the coolest season?
I resent you. I don't even know how to answer that question, and I'm not trying to be a smartass.
There's no right or wrong answer.
I've got a good answer.
All right, I'm going to go with Will Barton because he is literally the coolest player on the team, but also I thought he presented this sort of interesting dynamic this year. He was much maligned, described himself as the fall guy because Nuggets fans kind of hate when he devolves into that hero ball. But I, you know, at the end of the day, even though Barton's mistakes looked like they were especially, you know, more painful than others, he was a 15-5-4 guy on 45% from the field. That's only 12 other players in the league were able to put up a line like that or better, and they're almost all future Hall of Famers. So give me Will Barton. I don't know if you wanted a more fun answer than that, didn't you?
Well, it's funny that you went to the stats to describe Will Barton.
Because the question you just asked me is dumb. That's why.
I think Adam just called you a nerd.
Dan, who had the coolest season?
I'm going to go with Gary Harris because he had the coolest moment in the entire season hitting on that game winner against Oklahoma City. Like, there was no moment better than that in the entire season. So.
Dan, do you want to point your microphone at your mouth?
I'm sorry.
And look at us.
No, look at how he's holding the mic so it's like pointed at us. This is the direction.
Well, I'm
of
just
the
trying
mic.
To wonder who the last person that stuck this in their mouth was. But but I definitely think that Gary Harris had the coolest season.
Yeah, that's a good answer, I think. Gary Harris did have a cool one. Dev?
I mean, Will Barton is the obvious answer. So if I have to go with anybody, I'm a Blue Mountain State. I love that show. So I'm going to go with Kenneth Faried. He was Alex Moran.
He got paid.
He got to live the life. And he didn't have to do anything literally at all. He got to wear a hoodie
hoodies.
On the sideline.
Right?
He got paid a whole lot of money.
That's a lot of money to bench press a lot.
Really? He got paid to stay in shape.
Yeah.
That is the life. If I could do that, I would do that. Every single year, I would do it.
I always wonder about that because, like, I'm not in phenomenal shape, so I always wonder what the amount of money it would take for me to be, like, a real gym rat.
$12 million. I promise you, you'd be in the gym
work.
Every single day, Adam.
That'll work.
Even on Sundays.
The answer, the man who said he doesn't worry about nothing because he came out of murder zone, the man who said he's in a whole nother place in a whole nother space, the man who has the best quotes nonstop. I don't care about the stats. It's the quotes. It's the style. It's Will Barton. He showed up to the arena in a Colorado Avalanche thrill jersey. Not a Will Barton jersey. A thrill jersey.
He wore sunglasses inside like 10 different times.
He wears his thunder glasses at night. I'm telling you.
Oh, he does.
Barton not only is the coolest dude I know, but he has the coolest season.
Jesus.
He easily had the coolest season. All right. Dan kind of already buried this because he didn't pay attention, so I'm going to make him go first. Who had the coolest moment of the season?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with Gary Harris, who is the coolest player on the team and had the coolest moment. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've definitely dreamed about what I would do if I hit a game winner like that.
What would you do?
I'd run. I'd start running up the stairs, so I high five and people and just run out of
the
arena.
In the crowd.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. But Gary Harris hit that and just ran back into the tunnel like he'd done it a million times before.
To be fair, that's because he's really boring.
Wow.
I'm tagging Gary in this.
Please don't.
So Gary, Dev.
Jamal Murray versus Devin Booker.
Wait, I don't even remember this. You're going to have to remind
me. That's when he had like the three or four. He was pulling the arrows
Dev,
out.
Dev, there were 10 to 15 like of the best moments of the season that happened in Denver.
Of course it's the Gary Harris shot. So okay. I have to go opposite of the Gary Harris shot. I think that the Devin Booker, he dunked on him. Then he pulled it out a few times. I'm going to go with that. It was cool to see him live up to the moment. He got to go against one of his people, like his one of his friends that he was really going at for the whole game. It was fun. It was sportsmanship. It was everything that you wanted at the moment. Like, I think that was cool against a team that's really not even that good. So it brought me something to look at against a team that's not good.
Okay, fair enough. Is this to me?
Yeah, it's to you.
I'm going to go with Jamal Murray stealing the inbounds pass.
That was a cool moment, man.
I mean, just an amazing moment as far as my –
You can pair it with the three free throws, too.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm new here, but the
sequence.
Yeah, you see what I just did there, Adam? But But that was my favorite moment in the Pepsi Center this season. Also because apparently Jason Terry just blew it. He just said out loud, "I'm going to go back court," and that's how Murray stole it. And I
really?
Think, yeah, that's what that's I story? Have you not heard yeah, that? It's apparently it's like confirmed on the court. Jason Terry said, "Oh, I'm just going to go back, just toss it back." And Murray heard him and stole that's it and stole it. So I'm going to go with that.
That is pretty awesome. Him hitting those free throws was pretty dope too.
Yeah.
You guys, the video of Malik Beasley missing the free throw is also really dope in a weird way.
I love that video.
I love that video, too, because Will Barton comes up to him and is just the coolest vet ever and being like, take your time, take a breath, you're all right. And then next time he comes by and goes, just make your free throws.
I have a take. No one made that easier for Beasley. Everyone was like, don't freak out, don't freak out. And he's freaking
no,
out.
No, Beasley did or the first time through, Barton, I thought, did a good job because he didn't stop to talk to him. Like, if you stop and talk to him, then you feel like your dad, you yeah, know, like yeah, he's yeah. giving you. But he just walked by casually, so you didn't even know he was talking to him. And then, you
take
know,
your time, take your time.
Good. Yeah, the second time was when he was like, dude.
Malik's like, what could I have done? What could I have done? Make your free throws.
You can make your free throws.
Make your free throws.
The coolest moment, though, is none of those moments, guys. The coolest moment was Jamal Murray crossing over Steven Adams and looking at him on the ground and then draining a three. That was the coolest moment there you could possibly have. The crowd went wild. The bench had the best celebration I've ever seen a bench have, like, improvised. You know, in college, guys have, like, all right, if next shot, we'll do this thing. The entire Nuggets bench did the coolest celebration of all time, and it was not planned or unexpected. To me, that was the coolest moment of the year.
Yeah, if I have to go with one more, I think the Joel Embiid dunk on Paul Millsap was the coolest. I think that was the craziest moment for
no,
me.
Dev,
that's the moment that stands out.
We're the Nuggets guys.
Like, but that was my moment. I was like, whoa. Like, wow. That was crazy.
Section two is equally as ridiculous questions as section one. We're going to ask, you guys don't get to know the Nuggets. Not that we get to know the Nuggets. We observe the Nuggets slightly more by the scenes. But who do you think would be the best hang, the best guy to, I'm gonna throw this to Dev and go that way. Who would be the number one dude you think would be the funnest to hang with for one day?
Well, I get to get my answer. Will Barton, of course. He's the coolest. Like, and he's the one guy that will probably hang out if we were to ask him. Like, I don't think anyone else is going to say yes. Like,
yeah,
I don't even
true.
Think anyone would think about it. It would just be like, no, like, just straight up. But I think with Barton, he'll be like, yeah, like, let's – I'm not saying he's inviting us out, but he'll be like, yeah, if we're at the same place, let's go. Like,
yeah, he'd buy us a drink.
We could come through. He'll buy us a drink. Yeah. Like, he's like, those guys are with me. He's not going to turn it down if we were to walk up and say what's up to him.
Barton's
he'll
so cool.
Over.
I don't think he buys drinks, though. He just hey,
get this drink.
He just points at people.
He has a sign. He just double taps his shoulder or something like that. Like, that's on me.
The best hang.
Actually, I was going to go to Daniel
next. Yeah, no,
that's
fine.
Let me moderate this show a little bit.
Well, I feel like I have different ideas of what it would be fun to do hanging out. So I'm not going to listen to any bottle service with Will Barton. So I'm going to go with an answer that will probably shock a few of you. And I'm going to go with Tyler Lydon.
Oh, my God.
Because Tyler Lydon and I, we definitely go to like a Jason Aldean concert. And like,
who is
this?
This
is like
go
a date.
Shooting.
What is Jason Aldean?
Dan's putting together a date.
Yeah. We totally bro-dated up. Yeah. It's guy love.
All right. I want to hear your Tyler Lydon's night out on the town.
Oh, my gosh.
It starts with a scenic route,
it starts
I'm sure.
It starts at the Grizzly Rose.
It starts there?
It starts there.
Right, so it's like
and
8
then it goes up from there.
8 a.m. at the Grizzly Rose. Just two dudes.
Yeah. Man, we probably
no, but there's some like motorcycle, like dirt bike riding.
At what point in the date would Lydon realize you were only hanging out with him ironically? Like,
ooh.
At what point would he figure out?
Probably when I like found a new group of friends at Illegal Pete's and hung out with them.
Just ditched him.
Yeah.
You're a horrible person, Dad, and I mean that sincerely. This is Brendan,
thank
the
you.
Best hang.
All right, if Barton's off the board, give me Jokic. I really do think he's fun. Oh, I really geez. Do think, in a little brother kind of way, I bet it probably gets annoying over 82 games. But I think one night out, I bet he's a lot of fun. I don't think he's full of himself the same way some of these other stars are. That's probably a cultural thing. So, yeah, I'll take Jokic. But I guess that's kind of the obvious answer. A little boring.
Jokic is the obvious answer? I don't know, man.
After Barton.
I mean, well, okay,
Barton's
I see.
One. It's Barton's 1, 2, and 3.
You're just going away
Who would
from
you
it.
Go with Locked On NBA?
I think, well, Barton has to be, you know, you can't include him. But I think the other person you have to go that's on the board here is Juancho. I think Juancho has a good time. He's laid back.
Good pick.
He's, you know, he's fun. I think
he doesn't have to play. So that helps.
Exactly. He doesn't have to.
He's really well liked in that locker room. That is.
There's
one
a
thing.
Reason. I think. You've never heard anybody say like they don't like Wancho, or you've never like read a story about, oh, I had a bad interaction with Wancho. I think he'd be
cool. Plus, you also don't have a story of like I was hanging with Wancho. So I just don't.
You think it's like a soup kitchen?
You probably go look at paintings,
some
nice
bocce
paintings
ball
or something like
park,
that.
Jeez, you might be right. All right, which player would you want as your sidekick in a zombie apocalypse?
This is a good one.
This is not a good one. This is one that I think Brendan came up with.
Yeah,
that I thought was really dumb.
Can confirm. All right, it's Brendan. Better than your stupid cool season question. All right, give me. I'm going to steal from the president of the Leiden fan club to my right here. I'm going to take Tyler. Because he shoots guns, debatably more than he shoots basketballs.
Oh,
so,
these are terrible.
That was too much.
This
is horrible. This is,
yeah,
way too
that's
soon.
My dude.
Yeah,
way too
I'm
soon.
Sorry, I got
way
a little carried.
Damn, you're right next to him.
This is my first Summit pod since Gordon Haywood broke his ankle.
Oh my
so,
God, we're
yeah,
gonna see something terrible tonight.
Exactly, I got a little excited.
Dev, what about you? Zombie apocalypse. Who's your sidekick?
My sidekick is Jamal Murray because I think at this point he's probably prepared for one already.
And maybe
with
and
his
maybe
upbringing and his dad, they probably already have prepared for this moment. He has good high IQ decision making. We probably know different techniques to get out of these type of situations, and he's a good shooter. So I need that on my side.
Jamal Murray, Tyler Leiden.
I'm going to go with Nikola Jokic.
What?
Ooh, I don't know about that. I'm
telling you. Let me explain this.
Let me explain this.
I need to hear why.
Because I'm hoping Nemanja is there as well.
Oh,
no,
that's a good pick.
That is good.
He's probably got some like Eastern European friends. One. They probably got like a tank, bazookas and stuff from out there. You know, they got all this artillery that they can use. And if those things fail, everything else is going down. I know I cannot run Jokic. I'm not going to be the last one to go.
That was an interesting point. That was a well thought out one.
Yeah, that was good.
Torrey Craig is pretty scrappy, man. Mm-hmm. I feel like Torrey Craig just, you know, a zombie eating like one leg. He's still fighting back. So,
mm-hmm.
like
but he's
that.
Still going to turn into a zombie. And I don't need.
Oh
all
crap!
That.
You're right.
No, but
zombie
you know what?
Torrey Craig's definitely
you know
better than me.
Torrey's the kind of guy who would tell you to just kill him before he turns.
I also don't need anybody
group.
That's a little too athletic like Fareed as a zombie. He's catching me. He's going to catch me.
Right, like Jokic.
I don't need that.
Jokic
type
is a zombie. Like one of my. Like,
right.
Oh great! You know.
You're right.
Yeah, but that's a regular zombie. That's just a regular zombie.
I just got to put him in isolation, and I'm going to get past him. Right.
What are we talking about?
But that's a regular zombie. If you have Fareed as a zombie, Torrey Craig is a zombie. Like, they're going to try to get you, and they're going to have a good chance of getting me, and I don't need that.
The answer to all my questions is usually Will Barton, and it might work for this one. He kind of has, like,
he just do the Thriller dance, and they think he was a zombie.
If you had to create a Nuggets team of five of the same guys, so, like, five Jokic's, five Murray's, five whatever, who would you pick? I'll start with you, Dan. I'll end with you, Brendan.
All right, that's good.
I'm going to go with Paul Millsap.
Five Millsaps?
Yeah. We'd have some ball handling. We'd have a lot of good defense.
Ooh,
rebound pretty well.
Some good D.
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty versatile. He can guard a couple positions. He's going to get burned, but like at least I got a couple other Paul Millsaps to rotate on defense. That's
Dev,
my pick.
Dev, can you beat five Millsaps?
I'm going to go Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray, the center, would probably be the best Jamal Murray because he's just going to be very aggressive. He's going to be able to shoot, and then he's going to be able to space the floor.
You know, okay. He only has six fouls, right?
You said it?
He only has 6 fouls in a game.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be able to
pass. There's five Murrays on the bench.
Oh, okay.
Dev,
people won't be able to pass the ball. Like, I'm not going to be able to pass or anything like that, but I'm going to be able to score. I'm going to look like I'm playing great defense.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be able to bring the best out of everybody else. We're going to be very competitive.
I like it. Oh, I have to go next. Yeah. I'm tempted to go Barton here because I think having a three is like the best you can do because you get a little bit of speed, a little bit of size. But the answer is Nikola Jokic. When guys are on the same
it isn't.
Yes, when guys are on the same page with Jokic, they score every time. Who would be more on the same page of Jokic than five Jokic's? They would average 60 assists on 60 made field goals.
What would your defensive rating be? 100 possessions, five Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, what happens when Jokic
gets
fouled?
Surprisingly great. That's the thing. It would make sense. You'd be like, how is it that this guy's defensive rating?
Who are you
he's
guarding at?
Not
RPM.
Passing the
that's
eye
amazing.
Test. But
who are you guarding at point guard?
You don't have to worry about that. You're scoring every time down court.
To be fair, Denver doesn't really worry about guarding the point guards now, so that's fine.
I think I'm right. Brendan, what do you got?
Gary Harris. Give me five Gary Harris's.
How's Gary Harris? Five Gary Harris's versus five Nikola Jokic's. And you think they're going to guard Jokic inside?
Do you think five Nikola Jokic's are going to guard Gary Harris?
Yes! They're going to make him make pull-up jumper, run him off the line, keep him out of the paint.
I feel like this is a good time to – this was my question. I came up with it now that we realize how dumb it is. No, man, you're not going to miss a shot. Five Gary Harris's consistent defense, probably the third best defensive player on the roster after Millsap and Craig. I don't know. I'm just making shit up. But
this is your first season covering the Nuggets.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It is April 20th, which is 4/20, which is a half baked day, and we're gonna come up with some half baked ideas because Kawhi Leonard might be on the market this summer. And while the Nuggets are almost certainly not going to even try to get him, if they did, they almost certainly would not get him. But on a podcast, we can talk about anything. Give me your high. I don't want like the offer you want to try. I want your final highest bid you would be willing to pay for Kawhi Leonard if he were to join the Nuggets.
I would give up Harris a
Gary Harris or Devin Harris?
Gary?
Gary Harris, okay.
Devin, Adam. That's the ceiling.
All right.
That's the ceiling of what I'm willing to give up for Kawhi Leonard is Devin Harris. No, Gary, a pick, and maybe I'd throw Malik in there if I had to.
If you had to?
If you had to.
And by if I had to, like, I mean I would have to,
so,
and
so
I would.
So the Spurs were like, you know what? We like the pick. We like Gary, but you're going to have to throw in Malik. You'd be like, no.
Right, let me rephrase. I would throw in Malik.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Dan?
You want me to ask me?
Yeah, I like it. So is Barton back then in this theory? So your lineup is Murray, Barton.
Such a ridiculous hypothetical scenario. I don't know. I actually don't know if Barton's coming back, but that may be too real of a podcast subject for this
That's
summit.
That's way too real. Yeah. Dan, what are you giving? What's your highest offer for Kawhi Leonard?
I definitely think that you would have to trade Gary Harris, and I would include Trey Lyles and Wancho in that, and a, you know, whatever, how many first-round picks they wanted.
What about Tyler Lydon?
No, he's going to be our new backup four. Okay. But I'd also want Patty Mills in that deal, too.
Ooh, Patty Mills.
Yeah.
That moves the needle. What about...
Yeah, maybe they won't... What are they going to do? Not make the playoffs again?
Ouch. I said too soon earlier. Yeah.
I would give up Chandler, Gary Harris... in a date with my stepmother.
that's gonna do it, huh?
Dev's stepmom is who gets the date? A looker.
Not Kawhi Leonard. Not Kawhi. he seems boring. She wouldn't be too interested.
Lyles is kind of expendable. Like, I would.
You got to get rid of Chandler because you have Kawhi coming in.
Right, right, yeah. I like it. That team is all right. You guys all getting rid of Gary Harris. The Gary Harris slander on this podcast
is
hurting.
Well, it was slander. Oh. It's the way you asked the question. What's the highest price? I would not love to give up Gary Harris.
But you take him for Kawhi.
What is Pop giving up? He's not going to take.
I'm sorry, Adam. Would you not give up Gary Harris for Kawhi Leonard?
The highest I would. It would include Gary Harris.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
You know, though, I would be more inclined to throw in, they don't want Paul Millsap. They have no use for Paul Millsap. What about this deal? Tell me, Wancho, Lyles, Millsap, the 14th pick in the draft, and Denver's 2020 unprotected first-round pick. Now, remember.
on what?
Unprotected.
Okay, thank you.
Because remember, Kawhi only has 2 years on his deal. So it's possible that following year, the Nuggets draft pick actually sucks. Yeah, that won't get the deal done, will it? It probably won't. But maybe. Two draft picks. Tyler Light or
one. That would be the one time we finally move up in the lottery.
Well, yeah, it hits. Yeah, somehow.
If you're the Spurs and you just gave Pau Gasol that extension, you're definitely looking to bring in another expensive aging power forward.
That's so true. The Nuggets aren't getting Kawhi. If you could, just in theory, if you could have your pick of Kawhi, LeBron, Paul George or Giannis?
Just stop right there. It's LeBron.
Yeah, this is a dumb question.
No, it's not. Go ahead. Paul, so you're, it's LeBron. All those guys, you can have one of them.
I'll lock him up for 8 years.
LeBron right now.
Right now.
We're not talking about prime.
I'm locking LeBron up right now.
Now, it should be noted that we all just watched Bojan Bogdanovic just drop 30 on him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're still taking him.
Yes. Very fast. When you started saying that, I don't even remember any of the other names. I really don't. I just said LeBron. I think you started with LeBron.
Brendan has a take. I want to hear it.
Oh, I'm with Dev. I'd take the best player in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Jokic is already... Yeah, we're asking who wants to join Jokic, though.
No, look, I mean, look, we could do the contract age stuff, and I get it. But
because he's old as I am?
Right, but since this is a ridiculous...
And I just, like, had to stand up. No joke, you saw me because my knees hurt from sitting.
Okay, yeah. Let's not compare you to LeBron James there.
Well,
I just think...
What are you the LeBron James of?
In this ridiculous hypothetical experiment, I'm not too worried about 5 years from now. I think if you put the best player on the world on the Nuggets, they're the best version of themselves.
Okay. Dan?
I'm going to go with Paul George.
Ooh, that is that is a real surprise.
Over LeBron James.
That's a really surprising take, I
think.
Oh,
man, Dev looks like he wants to hit me.
I feel like I want to
hit
you.
I don't even remember the other people on the list.
I love Paul George. Like, I would take Paul George in a heartbeat. I think he is the fourth best player that you could add to the Nuggets roster.
I mean, yeah, LeBron's the greatest player in the world, but...
He's over the hill.
I just don't think...
Oh, I mean, he's over a hill if you talk about the hill
being
the apex.
Yeah, it's like the biggest hill.
It's not a hill anymore. It's a mountain.
He just started going down.
It's a very big mountain.
He's still pretty
high. It's not a hill.
It's a good point.
I just don't... I think LeBron would get frustrated because he'd show up on the Nuggets and he'd be like, ugh, these guys don't play any defense.
That's true.
And he's like, I'm going to have to do this all over again. It's like a worst... It's the West version of the Cavs. I just left this situation, and he'd be all bummed out.
So you would not take LeBron?
No, I'd take Paul George.
So what is Paul George going to
think?
Because
Paul George is like, I've been
in
some
bad. Yeah, what is he going to think when he gets here?
And they're like, yo, Paul, we have the 26th defense. What are you going to do about that, man? We really were counting on you.
Millsap would be like, oh, finally, someone that can play defense. And then he'd, like, tear his other wrist and be out for half the season.
Yeah, Paul George leaves for the Lakers, and then you have to play him, and you're very upset about it.
One of your old Summit pods, I think you had Ryan and Dan on, I think I want
to
say. And Dan,
to listen.
Dan led Dan led with, a lot of people in my life have been telling me to be a little more positive. Like, I still laugh about that to this day. That's all I'm thinking about right now.
The answer is Kevin Durant, and I don't understand why this
oh,
is
did
so
difficult.
Oh,
did you list name?
You didn't even list Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
you pulled Kevin Durant out
of
the air.
Nobody remembers your list. I think you said Greek Freak, Kawhi.
I'll take Kevin, sure.
You're right.
No joke. I think you might have added people we don't even like.
I was wondering why no one took him.
I'll take Luka Doncic.
You're right. I was wrong because I didn't leave. Dang it. Now I have
no
to go.
No one wants prime Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? That's so strange.
I didn't know you said Michael Jordan prime. Prime time.
I'm dying over here. All right. Now Dan's answer's not so crazy. I think Paul George might be right.
Oh, okay.
I would take Paul George. LeBron would be great. Look, I think LeBron is great, and he's going to be great for a while, but not that long a while. And on top of that, the team changes. They would just run. They'd run the pick and roll through LeBron. It would be awesome.
Yeah,
like, it
are you
be really great. I'm just saying it would turn Gary and Jokic and Murray all into like spot up shooters slash just robots. And it, as much as it would make the Nuggets significantly better, a little piece of me would be like, man, we're not seeing these cool people do their cool thing. It's like Kevin Love. Kevin Love's awesome, and he's awesome in the role they have asked him to be in. The sad thing is, he's way more awesome in other roles,
right.
And we just like that Kevin Love has died.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Think about it. That no. Kevin Love was so fun; he just almost doesn't even exist anymore.
Would you? Sorry, none of us said Kawhi. I'm just curious.
Yeah,
is this health? Is this sort of player attitude? Is it fit? What's the reasoning for you guys there?
I don't want to interview him.
All right, I'll
interview. Seems really boring.
Wow, that's selfish.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If
Adam, you're not good at interviews anyway, dude. What
that's a great point. This is really the hidden truth.
Do you like Bob Dylan?
No.
I think it's fit. Nah, I just he's a defensive-minded person that we've been seeing like for Pop, and he comes into a system that's not a system. And you said the same thing with Paul George. It's like, okay, we have the 27th best defense. How do you help us? And he's like, I don't know. And then they're going to ask him to do so much on offense that he's not going to be able to do. And it's going to make us question how good he really is.
As bad as Murray and Jokic are in the pick and roll defense, right? Point of attack, protecting the rim in general. You don't think Harris, Leonard, Millsap could be a strong defensive core, Dev?
No.
Okay. All right. That's that then.
I don't.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Kenneth Faried's athleticism but Mason Plumlee's jumper, or Gary Harris's jumper but Jokic's athleticism?
Athleticism.
You would rather take a Faried with a Plumlee, which is basically a Faried.
Yeah, I was going to say that's Kenneth Faried.
Let's not say Jokic's athleticism. Let's say Jokic's capabilities or something like that. Like, he's not an athletic.
No, Dev, you're missing the point of the question.
The question is, would you rather just be able to dunk and do all this cool dunks and athletic stuff, but like, you can't make a free throw? Or would you rather be like Gary? Think about if you were in your rec league with Gary Harris's jumper. Like, you just don't miss. But you're moving around like Jokic down there to get open.
I'm going
to
be that. That's me anyway.
Come on. I'm gonna be that guy. He's already a Gary Harris.
To be honest, I actually
would. That's
actually
pretty accurate about Dev.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, buddy.
No, I'm done. I was just insulting Dev.
Yeah, exactly. That's everybody in a 30 and over league or just a men's league. That's everybody. There's one good guy that's killing in the league, destroying in the league, and that's how he is. Not athletic, not fast, just does all the right things, and he doesn't miss many shots.
It's also, you know how you joked that's just Fareed? That's kind of just Jokic having skill but no athletic.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would rather be like Jokic than a high flyer, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan? I would definitely want to be a high flyer. I mean, I've always wanted to dunk. God didn't give me.
Can you not?
Oh, no, I'm only 6 feet tall.
You didn't go to our pickup game.
He ain't dunking.
I'm not dunking ever in my life. But I would love to. And talking, you know, I'm never going to play in the NBA. I'm going to peak at like
don't
rec
give
leagues.
Up now. Don't give up now, Dan.
No, yeah. The next Torrey Craig.
40
are you sure?
No, for real, though. One of the things about like the Michael Jordan era, you ever see these like 80s and early 90s videos of Michael meeting with some little kids? And they're all like, I want to be a player like you. And he's like, you can if you just work hard. And like there's all this was like the thing. It was like, no.
And he was talking to Steph Curry.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you're going to be 6'8 and a sociopath, yes, you've got a great shot. Yeah.
No, yeah, I would much rather be able to dunk.
I'd take the shot. You guys don't understand one thing. You play basketball in a rec league, and I played against so many dudes that are super athletic, hyper athletic, because there's guys out there that have, like, NBA-level athleticism with no, not even raw talents at all. But a guy that makes shots like Gary, imagine how many shots Gary Harris would make in your pickup game.
He wouldn't miss.
Because in the NBA, he makes 40%. In practice, he makes 80%. And in pickup, he makes 70%.
Although, Adam, what I will say is you may be sort of applying your own value system.
Yes.
To some people, jumping higher is way cooler than shooting well in a rec game.
That's true. I've dunked. I can dunk, but it's not. Well, I don't know.
Oh, you can dunk?
Actually, I don't think I can.
Yes. I'll be honest. This video segment waiting to happen.
It's going
right
to be the lamest, like, worst video of all time. It'll be very, very sad. But Gary, are you kidding? You know how many points you would have in your average pickup? You would score every time down the court because guys just would not know how to guard you from 30 feet away.
Yeah, but there's probably been a game that you went for 30 or 40 in one of those pickup games.
Yeah, but it would
right?
be every night.
But was you going through the lane and dunking like one-handed, two-handed putbacks? Those are things that people have never done before, so it would be cool to do. You know,
you go to a new pickup run and you win every game. But one dude dunks. But one dude dunks on you. Like everybody's gonna be talking about, oh man, that dude dunked on
you.
Yeah,
you're not meeting up at the bar after. You're not going to the bar afterwards and be like, hey man, I made 10 3-pointers in a row. And be like, yeah, but I dunked and put my nuts in your face. Like.
It's time to get a little serious here, guys, and put our analyst caps on. Who do you think will have the best offseason, just in terms of, like, will come back the most improved? I'm not talking about in April or May. I'm talking about October, first game of the year. Who will have made the biggest leap over the summer?
I think Will Barton, just because he's coming off of his best year by far, you know, and I think that he is.
He's already, like, in his prime, though.
But I think that he's starting to see how good he can be, you know, like, with a lot more work. He's probably this year. I think.
What's he going to add?
I think he'll add pounds, hopefully. He'll get a lot bigger, I hope. He's already a great finisher. I think he'll try to play a little bit more defense. We'll hear him talk about how he's working on his jump shot just so that he could finish out games a little bit better. I think that Will Barton is, like, the easy answer for me. I think that he's going to work relentlessly throughout the whole summer, and he's going
to
get better.
That presupposes he's back in a Nuggets jersey, which we're going to get to later. Daniel, who's going to have the biggest summer, like the best summer?
I think it's going to be Jamal Murray. I think of all the players on the team, he has one of the highest work ethics. And I think also just the way that he played in the last game, missing those two free throws that turned out to be a real big difference maker. I think that's going to haunt him throughout the rest of the summer, just thinking like, man, if I had just been able to play a little bit better in that last game, we would have made the playoffs.
That's a good take. I was torn between Murray and Harris. I will go with Harris mostly because you just picked Murray, but also I do wonder if Murray's work ethic is undeniable, Will he work on the right things?
That's a great question.
Murray needs to improve on some very specific areas: post-entry passing, getting the ball to the roll man. Dribble.
I don't know how you work on some of those things.
Me either,
though.
Like away from the team. I know what you mean, but I could conceive of Murray as a guy who's like, I just need to get my jumper better. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's actually the last thing that you need to work on.
But if his jumper was better, it'd be pretty crazy.
What if he shot what he shot from the free throw line from three? So I'm going to go with Gary Harris. I think he is in the Kawhi Leonard mold of sort of shattering your ceiling season after. I'm not comparing them there. But yeah, just that sort of, okay, we're drafting them to be this very specific role player. Each year he comes back, he's added several elements to his game. I don't know what the next addition would be for Harris. Maybe the ability to penetrate on his own, score off the dribble, but I think he'll add something.
I like all those answers. I think Jamal is the obvious choice. He didn't get a summer last year. He's a tireless worker. I think he's going to come back. I think that's the right answer just because he has the most room to grow and expectation. But I'm going to give you who I think will have the second best, and this will surprise you guys, maybe not. I think it's Nikola Jokic.
Oh, that's not surprising.
It's not surprising that I took it, but it might be surprising just because of where he's at right now. I think something clicked for him. I know I think February was his best month of the season because that's the style that he excels at the best. Then they kind of played through him and did things to it for him. The last 6 weeks of the season, though, I just felt like he learned something about being aggressive and about being a leader and all these different things. And I also think it's hard to say. It's hard to really explain why I think this, but I feel like the end of the season for it was a little bit harder on him. Look, Will Barton had tears in his eyes. Jamal Murray was pissed. Jokic was like making jokes, but just kind of like following some of the stuff he said. I think he kind of finally accepts the fact that he is this great talent, and this is a year where he's still young enough to make a big leap. He said he's going to stay in Denver for more. He's going to spend more time in Denver than years past. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back next year looking his best physically, but also just with like more confidence. And look, Jokic's ceiling is just so high. If we got 25 points per game Jokic for a full season, I mean, the dude's going to be a killer.
Here's my question to you, though. I think you asked Malone, what does Jokic have to do in the offseason to improve in his pick-and-roll defense? We get the same answer every time, right? Improve foot speed. You and I have talked before, like, what does that really mean, right? Doing ladder drills, like, literally working every day on straight-up foot speed stuff. Do you think Jokic is going to approach his summer that way?
I think they do a lot of those plyometric stuff just naturally. But, no, I don't know that his foot speed's going to increase enough to make a difference like that. I also don't think that's the number one thing that's holding him back defensively.
Hit me with it, then. What is?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is, first of all, is just want to. I think he's a guy that's like, we can score more points than this other team. He even said as much in Media Day last year when I personally asked him, like, can you win being a bad defense? You can win a lot of different ways, so whatever. But I think buy-in, conditioning is the biggest thing. And then the third thing, and this goes along with wanting it, anticipating. Defense is all about anticipation and just, like, where your mental energy is. And I think Jokic has been such a reactionary defensive player that I think once he learns that actually you can be a proactive defensive player, he's going to be fine. There's a lot of elite defenders who don't have quick foot speed, and they make it work. So I don't think he's going to be an elite defender by any means like that, but I wouldn't be surprised if offensively he does all the same things we've seen. He's in better shape, and his one-on-one scoring goes up a whole other level so that not only can he score on you if you don't double him, but you have to double him every single time, even in the fourth quarter. And maybe it's wishful thinking here. You talked about Barton, Dev. Do you see him coming back next season?
Yeah, I think you have to bring him back just because of the identity that he brings to the team. He's a playmaker, and where are they going to find that? Like, they're not going to be able to get that back. Is it a player option or a team option that he's under?
He's an unrestricted.
Unrestricted. He's got no options.
They have to bring him back. Like, I just really think that they have to. He had a great year. He bought in. He changed a lot of things. He worked hard. He was a sixth man of the year candidate. He went into the starting lineup, and he worked hard. I think that you have to reward that. They've rewarded it in the past. In other ways, you might as well do it with a player that is pretty good.
I'm looking at the volume on here. Dev just like
the microphone got progressively further away from his face.
Daniel, what do you think?
Will Barton be back next season? I think they have to, just because they're not going to have any cap space to bring someone back.
You guys are the worst microphone holders ever I've ever seen in my life.
This is how you told me to hold it.
Yeah, you literally instructed us to hold it that exact way.
Like this, so it points at your mouth.
Good Lord.
All right, Brendan.
Well, you know, the question to me is, well, first of all, you have to figure out what's going to go on with Wilson Chandler, right? I feel like that's sort of the first domino to fall in a lot of ways.
Because if he opts out.
If he opts out. Because also because I do think Barton wants to start, and I do think that's going to be a significant factor in his decision. So I think when you're sitting down to tell Barton you have the money, he's also going to want to know, am I starting? And so I think you have to be comfortable doing that. So my question to you guys would be, are you? I am, because I think 15-5-4 on 45 or better from the field, super hard to replace. And as we know, the Nuggets do not have a lot of room to maneuver this summer. So my feeling is if Barton leaves, how are you replacing that level of production?
I also think that with Barton saying that he wants to start and things like that, I think it is due to the money. I think that once he gets his money, I don't think he really cares if he starts at that point.
Yeah.
I think that it's just wanting that type of money. But once you get it, I think that he's fine with his role and coming off the bench. It was something that he said that he was okay with before, and then he got into a new role, and now he feels like he's doing more. So he should be a starter, especially when you look at the production that Wilson Chandler was giving him. So I think that he's like, okay, I can do the same type of thing. I might as well get paid to do that same type of thing.
Let's just put a hypothetical out there. If Wilson Chandler opts out of his contract and they re-sign Will Barton and they have Will Barton as a starting small forward next season, and I think just it's going to be another tough season, especially with Michael Malone as head coach.
Strong disagree.
Yeah, I'm with Adam on this one.
I think that starting lineup is straight fire, and I would be 100% behind on board with it. Now, again, I think the question really comes down to, like you said, can they get rid of Fareed and Wilson Chandler? Because they're not going to pay a $50 million luxury tax bill or whatever it would be if everybody comes back. But assuming they can get off those contracts, you're right, Dan. They're not going to be great defensively. They're not great now. The problem is they're such an inconsistent offensive team and largely good. But you start off – I've said this since last season, and I thought that this is my biggest complaint about this whole season is the Nuggets had an identity. And when they play through their identity, it's just like you can start with Jokic ball, and then when Jokic goes to the bench, it just stays the same because the ball started getting popping. It didn't happen this year. But if you play with Harris, Murray, an improved Harris and Murray and Will Barton, that offense is straight fire. Probably the best or second or third best offensive team in the entire NBA or starting five.
But you still have the same head coach.
Yeah, but I don't think he can help himself. Like, honestly, I don't think Malone can. That's one of those lineups that I just don't think you can over-orchestrate. It just will naturally become a very, very good offense.
So, because of the Millsap injury, because of, as you brought up, Dan, the defensive deficiencies, Chandler spent most of the time at the three. We only got 65 minutes of Murray, Harris, Barton, Millsap, Jokic. They were awesome. 124.7.
He listens to Locked On. I've been hammering it home.
I'm actually a writer myself, and I've been working on this piece. do you have a podcast, Adam?
I do.
Okay.
Locked On Nuggets or Hooked On Nuggets.
I'll check. But so 124.7 offensive rating for that group, albeit just 65 minutes, that wouldn't hold up over major minutes. You'd be surprised. The defensive rating's closer to 90. The net rating's in the 30s. They're not that good.
65 minutes, they outscored the opponents by 50 points.
Yeah, I just think, like, if you think of all the times you see the ball move it and it gets to Chandler and you're like, okay, here's the one guy who can't score. If that's a guy who's giving you 15 points a game on 45-plus, right. Like, I get what Adam's saying insofar as they're not going to make the leap from 30 to 20 in defense, right? So I think more important than making the leap from like 28 to 25 is just being the best versions of yourselves offensively.
And they would be with that lineup. It would just be absolute fire on the offensive end. They would, especially at home, like guarding that many DHOs and pick and rolls in the half court where every single one of them is a threat. Like, oh, the pick and roll with Murray didn't work, throw it to Harris. That didn't work, throw it to Barton. Like, right. One after the other. You score almost every time down the court.
I will say Dan is not wrong, though, to ask the question of defense, because that would be a horrific defensive unit.
Would it be
and
that much worse than
be terrible?
Would it be? That's the legitimate claim.
That's a good
question. And here's the thing. Like, Trey Lyles is good, man. He's better than you give him credit. And also, you stagger these minutes. It's not like, all right, all five of you out, everybody listen. But I think the bench, one of the strengths about the Nuggets coming to this season was, oh, they're so deep. There's so many good players on it. I think you got to have a legitimate, honest-to-God point guard in your second unit. And even with Devin Harris, Barton was the backup point guard.
Correct.
So if they end up with Barton as your starter, you got to find an actual, legitimate, yes. honest-to-God point guard yes. who runs point guard and does point guard things
agreed.
With your second unit. And I think all of a sudden, Plumlee looks better and Lyles looks better and all these guys that have looked – like garbage when Jokic wasn't on the floor start to look better.
Here's the thing. I think they have a chance of re-signing Barton. I think there's no chance in hell that they lose Barton and replace him with comparable production.
Agreed.
So I don't think when you're looking at a team that's missed the playoffs by one game in two consecutive years, I don't think you can afford to look at 15-5-4 and say, eh, I'm good.
Yeah. Do you see Denver having a busy offseason? Do you see them having like being involved in trade rumors this offseason?
No.
At all? You think their summer is pretty simple?
Yes.
And I think that's what makes this summer so boring, because I don't think that there's going to be anything like, at least in years past, you had like the number 7 pick, or, you know, you had picks that you could go after that could, you know, make a difference.
And the 13th pick last year, though, was actually more interesting than we gave it credit for.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
True.
But it was also at a time that there was a lot going on that they were a part of. And it was throughout the whole year. Right now, there's nothing that you're hearing. There's literally nothing.
We did get Butler rumors, Bledsoe rumors, Love
so
rumors,
true.
Wade
right?
rumors. Like, there was a lot of rumors that was going into it. So
I'll bet
like,
you it happens this year, though.
It made it exciting. Right now, like, the most that they could give up is, like, Barton or Chandler or something. Like, what could you really – It's not even Barton, right?
I mean,
it's just Chandler.
I think if they are involved on the trade market, it's getting out of this draft to get off of some money. So depending on how you feel about like the ins and outs of player movement and roster construction.
And
that's
good old cash consideration.
Yeah, that's boring, I guess. But.
I'm with you guys. I think this offseason will actually be pretty low-key. But I do think there'll be rumors. And we're going to cover those rumors. Like we're gonna, but like I think, and I'm not talking about the Nuggets. I'm just talking about the NBA. Like I think Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, like there's going to be a bunch of names that are like, oh, so-and-so is asking out and things like that. And you'll be like, oh, maybe there's players that are more gettable than you think. Last one is way too early to really feel confident about this, but how confident are you that the Nuggets make the playoffs next season?
I'll start. I'm super confident. I think if they were a healthy team this year, they win 50 games. I know if you are born in bread and nug life, you feel differently, and I get that. I really stress what I wrote in that piece, man. If you just dropped an NBA fan here with no context, they would look around and say, man, this things look good. Yeah. I think if Paul Millsap's there, if Harris is there, they win 50. So, you know what? It's funny. I say that, and let me backtrack a little bit. The little things will matter. Can they bring back Barton? What's going to happen with Chandler? Right? If they,
but that factors into the calculus, right? Like, we don't know those things.
We don't know those things. So it factors in. I think if they bring Barton back and everyone stays healthy, I would be supremely confident that they make the playoffs.
I'm very, very confident. Just because they have Jamal Murray, they have Gary Harris back, they have Millsap, and they have Jokic. Yeah. And that's their core. So I think that if you have your core healthy for next year, then you're going to make the playoffs. If you don't, if there's a big injury like there was this year, it becomes like a lot harder. But with your core players, I think that they have the pieces around them that they could build around.
Have you guys looked over at the score, by the way?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up at some point. Milwaukee is trouncing Boston.
Oh, my gosh. I was excited to watch this one as soon as we're done, but now I'm not.
The thing about this series is no matter who wins, who cares? Right?
It's a great point.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just being realistic.
Dan, what do you think?
I'm not very confident about the Nuggets making the playoffs next season.
Dan's a cynic, though. I gotta say, maybe few people are more cynical than I am.
I've been told that I need to be more positive. I just feel like they're gonna be in another situation where they're gonna be battling for that 6, 7, 8 seed, and with this, you know, their inability to improve their bench because of their salary cap, they don't have the salary cap space to add players to their bench to make an impact. And they don't have the draft assets to really, like, add young players that are going to be improving. So I think they'll probably be in another situation similar to this season, battling for that, you know, bottom half playoff seed. And, you know, it's going to come down to how they perform in March and April down the stretch. And they're going to have to win some big games. And I don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to make the playoffs.
That sounded sad. Like everything sounded sad.
Part of it is his voice. He kind of has
everything.
He's got an Eeyore voice.
I started feeling bad. Like, man.
I was going to say, I probably could have answered that for you as Dan. Like, I knew how he was going to go. I will say this, man, and I really do feel this way. The Nuggets were 3 games behind Portland.
Yeah.
Portland stayed healthy. Portland played, what, like 11 games against teams that should have had an all-star whose all-star was resting.
Yeah.
The difference between 9-3 is minimal compared to the difference between 3-2. And so could a lot of things go wrong for the Nuggets? Absolutely. But a couple, we're talking about a couple more lucky breaks going their way, and they're flirting with home court. So I just don't feel like it's like, oh, they're on this outside looking in thing, and they need to make a bit, they need to turn a corner. I think they just need to stay healthy. I don't know if that's too reductionist. But
I'm not as confident that Will Barton is coming back. I do think that there will be teams out there that offer him some money, and I think Denver will be up against a wall to kind of clear out some salary cap space. Because like you said, Dan, their salary cap situation is great long term. It's not great next year. Next year is the one year where it's
very bad.
It's very bad. And can they get off of that? I think trading that 14th pick is maybe somewhat likely, or at least a possibility, just to be able to make it. So I don't know. I am with Dan, actually. I'm a little bit less confident. The thing that holds me is I really do think Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic come back next year. It's weird trying to think about these guys being better just because it's so hard to predict what a player who has that much to gain from a development standpoint, what they look like. But I think both guys are going to come back significantly better players.
Can I add some context too to why I'm a little bit more pessimistic, especially the point that Adam brought up about the salary cap? If the Nuggets extend Jokic and give him a new contract in the offseason, the Nuggets and, let's say, Darrell Arthur and Wilson Chandler opt in, they're going to be paying their front court, I think it's like around $85 million in a league where the salary cap is at $108 million. Yeah. You're giving them your front court $85 million. Adding Gary Harris, now you're at like $100 million.
You already have
$10 million for like four other dudes, right? Yeah. You're not getting any better in free agency. Free agency is where you add those final pieces that help make you into a playoff team. They can't do it.
I was going to end on that question, but actually I'll end on a happier note. The Spurs are just so outclassed against the Warriors. Had the Nuggets won one more game and made it in, how do you think the series would look right now, three games into it? Dev, I'll start with you.
The exact same way that it looks right now.
Wow.
0-3 and they're all blowouts?
I think
it'll
be the exact same way right now. I mean, I think that it would there'll be some interesting games, like a game or two that they get close and the Warriors end it on the last shot, or, you know, like right at the end, there's a big run that the Nuggets give up. But I think it'll be 0-3 still.
I think that game one probably goes the exact same way. If anything, the Nuggets probably lose by 30 in game one. I think Denver gets one, if not two, at home in a seven-game series against a Curry-less Golden State.
Right.
I think it would be a lot more entertaining. Those games have been just terribly boring.
That's really the key. Like, not only wins or losses, it would just be a more fun series to watch.
And I do think in a seven-game series, I think Denver wins one, maybe two games.
Agreed.
I think the Spurs have a 0% chance of winning a game.
Yeah, I think that they have it higher than 0%, but not that high. I'm not at all surprised that they're down 0-3, and I would not be at all surprised they lose 0-4. I think Denver has won a game in this series, and I think that and I think they're heading into game four at Denver with a loud and excited crowd, and there's at least a puncher's chance that they could even a series. Would they beat them? No. But could they even a series 2-2, and just think about how fun that would have been to been like, it's 2-2 with the Warriors, man. Like, it's on.
Let me put it this way, man. If we're going to harp on this team losing to Memphis, to Phoenix, or Atlanta, or I don't know if they lost to Phoenix, whatever.
They did, in fact, lose to Phoenix at home.
So if we're going to place that much value in one win or one loss, why are we ignoring the fact that they're one of two teams who have beaten Golden State three times in the last 2 years? I wouldn't pick them ever, but you're right, Adam. Like, this idea, they would have
can't guard Jokic.
They would have confidence against them. That's for sure. They could not guard Jokic. I don't know who Jokic. I would. Every possession should just be a high pick and roll for Golden State.
And it would be.
And it would have been.
And it would have been.
To be honest, the NBA should just step in and swap the Nuggets in and like let Greg Popovich go home. Like, just let him. The Spurs be like, you know what, your season's done. We're just gonna put the Nuggets in. We know they're not winning anyways. But like, we're just gonna give you a chance to make this entertaining.
Yeah, I can't see why that would have any sort of like precedence. There would be no issue at all.
Yeah,
be totally fine. Yeah. We'll just sub the Nuggets in for one game.
Wilson Chandler's already on the beach. They'll get him back.
Who knows where Will Barton is by now?
A few players denied, and Chandler, they were there calling up. Chandler said he's not coming back.
My season's over.
Guys, thanks so much for joining for a weekend summit. It was a lot of fun, as always. Be sure to follow these guys. Their description, their handles for Twitter are in the description of the show. And the offseason, guys, really, like I said, it's my third favorite season of the NBA. There's a lot of stuff to cover, and the NBA offseason gets weird, it gets funny, it gets interesting. Be here for all of it. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.